We're going to speak about another issue of people who've been marginalised and forgotten about very often as well. A large part of the workforce, and they look after children. And we have, joining us on the line, is Áine na hÉileáin. And Áine is a member of an organisation called Cúram. Can you tell us a little bit about Cúram, Áine?
Yes, of course. Cúram is a group of people who are looking after their own children, or maybe other members of their family who need care, maybe an elderly parent or a relative with a disability, and also people who would like to do that on a full-time or part-time basis, but they're finding it increasingly difficult to be able to take a break from the workforce to look after people. And really what we're trying to do now, we're going to be looking at a way that we'll be putting to government to see to allow people, parents and of children under the age of 18, to allow them to provide care and supervision for their children, or if they decide to go back to work, that it would also give them the ability to pay for the childcare. Because at the moment, I think it's very hard for parents. If you decide to give up your job to stay at home with the child, it's very expensive and very difficult to do. You know, a lot of people will be trying to survive on social welfare payments or on just one income to support a whole family. And you'd be taxed, of course, like an individual person, just for the most part.
There's a trend out there that was to get people working, and it's sort of neglected the family to a certain extent, and this has happened since the 70s, is it?
Well, there are fewer women at home than there would have been in the 70s. The percentage of women in the workforce full-time would really have increased. But we still have 544,900, so that's over 500,000 women full-time working at home in this day and age, and we have about 4,500 men doing the same job. So, you know, there are still large numbers of people doing this work. And I mean, you have to remember, if there's a voluntary activity that's taking place 9 to 5 in the community, it's going to be somebody who's at home doing it. You know, it's very difficult for people to take time off work now to volunteer. I mean, they can hardly take time off work to be with their own children, much less to be doing other things in the community. So we really feel that you have to find a way to fund all childcare. And that will allow people to make a choice whether they stay at home or whether they go back to work. Now, obviously, we are very keen that our members would be able to afford the choice to stay at home. But what we're proposing is a method of funding childcare that would allow you to take the break or to go back if you want. And we also have, it's funny that you were talking about Washington, we've a speaker as well from New York, a woman called Teresa Funicello, and she was a woman herself who was caring for a disabled child, and she was dependent on welfare for years. And she wrote a book about this, and she's going to be talking about her recent campaign, which was very successful, to get in the tax system that low-income families would be treated the same as higher-income families. Because what's happening now, the government has suggested that they might consider a tax credit for childcare. But what they haven't said is that in our system, a tax credit for childcare would only help people paying 42%. That means that if you're a married person, you'd have to be earning between the two incomes $58,800 to benefit. Any family earning under that will not qualify for any extra help. Well, you'll qualify for the benefit of the tax credit, but you won't actually get any extra money into your hand at the end of the day.
Or if you're a single parent, you're not benefited at all.
Absolutely, absolutely not. So this is only for people who are in the tax system, if you know what I mean. So really that doesn't recognise, from our perspective, it doesn't recognise the fact that all children need care and that parents have to pay for it in some way. And the way the system has now been set up, it's very difficult for parents to do that.
It's probably somewhere along the lines of minimum wage, or can you put a value on the sort of work that's done in the home?
Well, we can put a value on it. Gabriel Kiley of the Family Studies Centre did a study for us last year, and he said that the average annual value, so what you'd, the work and the services that you do in a year if you're at home full-time, would be approximately $23,500 per year. Now, I mean, what has happened in other sectors of the society is that workers have gotten together and they've been able to access the value of their work, you know? They can actually earn money based on their work. But if you're at home, you can't do that. You're dependent on the government to give you allowances, or you're dependent on if you have a partner or another family member working for them to give you money. But then, of course, when it comes to the end of your life, your retirement, you have no rights off your own bat. You know, you're really dependent then more on social welfare. And the largest group in poverty at the moment are people with caring responsibilities and their dependents. So far from it being a situation that parents and carers are doing well out of the current situation, in fact, they represent the largest group at risk of poverty. So, you know.
Is this anything to do as well with the reason that women are leaving having children till their late 30s and early 40s because of the costs, perhaps?
Well, if you look at the age now of women who, if you go into any maternity hospital now in Ireland, you'll see that there's a big group of younger women having children, and then there's a huge gap, and then you have a big group of older women having children, and there doesn't seem to be that many women in between. And that's obviously for economic reasons, I think, you know, because people are trying to set themselves up in life, or, you know, the ones who are putting it off. I mean, I would have been in that category. But we need children. We need people to choose to have children. I mean, we can't run our society or our economy without having children to come up in the next generation and take up the job. So when I retire, or when, you know, I'm reaching an age where I'm no longer able to contribute as actively as I was before, you know, we need to have other people who come along to be the doctors and the cleaners and the politicians, if you like. Mm-hmm. We need people to come along and do all of these jobs.
So that's put spare to the argument that says, why should single people pay for parents, you know?
Well, it's very interesting. If you look what's happening in Germany now, single people actually have to pay more pension contributions than married people. Mm-hmm. And the reason that they've agreed to that is because they say that married people are more likely to produce children and therefore to contribute in that way to the economy. And the Germans have accepted that as a principle, in fact, that single people should contribute more tax than married people, because they're not then also contributing in that way. I should say not single people, but people without children. Sure. They actually have to pay more pension contributions and more tax than people who have children.
And they've got less costs as well, I'd expect, you know, from when you're raising children as well. And you probably need a bigger house if you've got children, and you need so many extra additional costs.
Every child needs its food, it needs its clothes, it needs its space. You know, it needs the care. It needs its education, and some that has to be provided for in some way. And if we have a system that only recognizes individuals, well, obviously, people are going to be priced out of having children. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, just because you're poor, it shouldn't mean that you shouldn't have a child, you know? Yeah.
The other side of that as well, if children haven't got the proper financial wherewithal to support a reasonably good upbringing, it's going to lead to problems somewhere down the road as well.
Well, that's it. We have seen that child benefit, that universal payment, worked very well to help lift children out of poverty. Worked very, very well. In fact, it's probably the most effective payment we've ever made. But the problem is, even though it's been vastly increased, it really hasn't kept pace with the cost of inflation, and especially the cost of housing. So really we have to sit down and say, look, it costs so much to educate and care for our children properly. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't just have a huge warehouse and throw them all in there and lock the door and come back, you know, 9 hours later or whatever it is and pick them up. Yeah. You have to engage them. You have to have a quality of care, you know, and that could happen in the home with the parent or in a quality childcare institution. Either way, it's going to cost. Yeah. We just have to sit down and say, look, it is going to cost. Mm. But parents want choices, and all parents want to be able to give their children quality care, to be able to afford that.
And every parent would rather look after their own child than having it given to a childminder and pay exorbitant amount of money for this child.
Well, I think a lot of parents are wondering why now they are going to be given extra tax credits for institutional care only, when, you know, parents are getting up at 6 a.m. and coming back at 7, you know, in the evening time. Really, that is no quality of life for parents.
Or the child.
What kind of quality of life is it for a child? Yeah.
Do you think this is somewhere on the immediate agenda or horizons of political parties at the moment?
Yes, I think it's on the agenda of the media, and I think it's on the agenda of the politicians, because I think, especially in the last election, politicians were shocked when they called to the doors of people living on the outskirts of Dublin to find the parents and the children in their PJs at 8 p.m. in the evening ready for bed, you know, because they have to get up at 4 or 5, you know. So I think they hadn't quite grasped the reality of the situation for many parents and for many children. I mean, at least parents can make a stink. We, you know, we can raise our voices and we can point out that we have difficulties. Our children are quiet, but only for so long. I mean, then if their needs haven't been met when they're children, this stores up difficulties for the future, and they won't be able to take advantage of their educational opportunities. They won't be able to take advantage of the opportunities in society, you know, if their needs haven't been met, you know.
It'll take an enormous social transformation, because not just seeing children as economic assets, but the whole idea of putting family life or relationships equal or more important to the actual economic or industrial work.
Well, absolutely. But I mean, I think it's becoming clear that because we left it out of the mix for so long, we took mammies and daddies for granted for so long. We took grandparents for granted for so long. Things have just gotten to nearly a crisis point now, and we realize, hey, we actually do need these people in the community.
Sure.
We do need these people in families, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's all very good to talk about social capital and community life. Well, if you don't allow families to form and to grow and to have positive time with each other, they're not going to be able to contribute to the community either.
Mm-hmm. The way we're going, all the streets will be empty between 9 and 5, and mm-hmm. there'll be all the old people will be in homes, and the children will be just locked up somewhere while adults go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning and come back at 6 in the evening. And it's an incredible picture now.
I don't think we have to choose that. You know, I mean, we have the power now to decide what we want to do, you know, and it's a matter of everybody. You know, I would urge you, please, to give your experience and to lend your voice to this call, because really, if we can get enough people behind the idea that all parents need to care for their children and they need to be able to afford that care, well, then I think we have a chance of getting government to change policies and to bring in policies that will allow us to do just that and give us some quality of life and give our children some quality of life.